Garage Logic Podcast number 96, Feb 11, 2019. It was 31 below on this day in 1899 and 57 degrees in 1882.
And now, from the mayor's office, above the boathouse, on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Rookie on production. Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
Are you enjoying the winter weather? I have to get something off my chest because it's causing me some despondency. It's a letter to the editor today in the Star Tribune. And I'm not going to mention her name, the letter writer's name. You know why I concluded? It just doesn't make any difference. Her name would be Nancy Smith. It doesn't make any difference.
I'd really like to know her name.
Well, I'll be glad to show it to you.
Okay.
But there's no need to impugn her.
Okay.
And then I'll read it, and then I'll explain to you why I'm reading it.
All right.
In response to the Feb 9 letter about adults being tired about the demands of work and public discourse and finding the winter weather an excuse to cancel schools and have a vacation, between the lines there was some definite shaming. Apparently she's referring to a letter that must have appeared February 9, written by someone who was disgruntled that the kids are getting too much time off of school or something.
Gotcha.
I'd like to bring up some realities of the present day. Minnesota's winters are warmer than in days gone by, so now we have to regularly contend with ice that won't melt when the warm turns cold and the jet stream stalls and stays cold. This is called global climate change. Many more people are on the roadways than even 20 years ago, and we are all trying to navigate on icy conditions. Our mass transit buses have to drive on the same ice the rest of us do. We all have to get from our icy neighborhood streets to well-traveled roads somehow. I could also mention the injuries sustained by too many people I know who have fallen on the ice, which they can't avoid. I'm a freelance worker, and I've lost significant income from this latest pattern of not difficult but hazardous weather, as people are not able to spend the hours it takes fitting music lessons into just getting around. We are all making sacrifices, but not the kinds of sacrifices the letter writer mentions. Many of us are worse off because of these weather conditions, and then so and so. I can't compete with this. I can't compete with this absence of thought. I don't know where to go anymore.
Is the letter writer saying that our roads are icier than they and more populated than 20 years ago?
Well, what I'm taking from it, and the reason I can no longer compete with this, there's no way to argue with this person. She seems to have herself convinced that any type of day she encounters is being driven by what she believes to be man-made global climate change. So I can't compete with that. She's going to complain if she believed it rained too much on a day in June.
Right.
And it sounds to me like she must be a freelance, piano teacher maybe or something?
With a little extra time.
Yeah. These are our friends and neighbors.
To write that letter, you got to put it on paper. You got to either electronically or snail mail it to the Star Tribune. And what does she expect from that? Does she expect to educate or lure people to her side?
I don't know. But I can no longer compete with this vacancy of thought. This is a woman who apparently has herself convinced that whatever she's experiencing is worse than whatever she previously experienced, and that she doesn't believe that things are going to get better, and she's really, really turns things upside down when she says our winters are warmer than previously, but now our ice won't melt when the warm weather turns cold and the jet stream stalls, as you say, sir.
As you say.
You know what? I think what you should do.
I can't do anything anymore. No. I don't know what to do.
No, that's giving up. You can't do that.
Oh, no. Nobody likes a quitter, Billy.
You take note of her name.
I got her name.
Take note of her name, and then you somehow deliver to her the website that you have showing the temperatures and say,
all your
our
new
winter
favorite
is
site,
not necessarily
yes.
warmer than the others.
No. I contend to you that the reason I'm bringing this up is this is a mindset that is becoming so widespread that it's impossible to engage in a conversation with the likes of this letter writer in any meaningful way. She's
not going to see any light.
Her mindset has been established. She's drank all the Kool-Aid that was put in front of her, and she now believes that. I don't know what she believes, and that's another reason you can't argue with her. But how do you write this sentence? Minnesota's winters are warmer than in days gone by.
Sure.
So now we have to regularly contend with ice that won't melt when the warm turns cold. In other words, winter. It's winter.
Here's why I think you shouldn't be too alarmed. Because I don't think she represents the vast majority of thinking.
I do.
I think that she just merely represents, and the reason she was published in the Enemy paper was because she fits that template.
I guess Trump didn't do himself any favors. He fell into that trap of pointing out during Amy Klobuchar's presidential announcement, he fell into that trap of saying, how can there be global warming? Look at you. You're standing there in a blizzard. No.
You're not helping the cause.
Yesterday was just a normal winter day, and it proves nothing, just as a 100-degree day in July is going to prove nothing.
Boy, the media was eating that up, too, by the way, yesterday, all over the place, with everybody covered in snow. And you know what, though? I thought it was kind of neat.
Amy was on Good Morning America today. Yes. I mean, she's the little media darling right now.
Okay. Seattle has received the most snow it has received in 70 years.
Since
it's happened before.
Mm-hmm.
Some areas around Seattle received more than 10 inches of snow Saturday, the most since 1949, the National Weather Service said, and more is on the way. Two more storms close in on the area. Isn't this good news for the Sierra Nevada range and the water that's necessary to replenish reservoirs in California? But as exhibited by that letter writer, any condition on any given day is now being attributed to what these people believe to be climate change.
A week ago.
Which has always changed.
A week ago today, I was in Southern California.
Yeah, you had a cool week.
And they had a lot of rain that particular day. You guys would have laughed at the weather coverage. They had team coverage of the winter storm that was an inch and a half of rain.
Storm Chaser 7, team, tonight at 6.
Who's in Chula Vista? Go!
Well, but you see, you're resting my case.
I know.
And our letter writer friend would have watched that on the TV out in San Diego and would have said, yep, I get it. We're in big trouble. We got a big storm. I can't compete with it. I don't think I want to deal with it anymore.
What are you going to do?
Well, maybe never talk about this again, the climate.
No, it's fun to talk about.
You're
because
the
of letters, because of letter writers like that, where you think to yourself, how can someone go through their life thinking this way?
How do you get to that point? See, I'm a commuter. You know, I'm out there. John, you're a commuter.
Yes, I am.
And Rook, you're a commuter.
Heavy commuter.
Reeves is a commuter. Has it ever occurred to you, just take the last 10 days, did it ever occur to you that your bumpy commute was the result of climate change?
No. Absolutely not.
No.
I had a couple of points of thought. Why do I live here?
We all have that. But I've had that. Thought for 50 years.
Right.
Why do I live here?
Right.
Can you do the podcast if I was in another state? What do I need? Do I need a little equipment?
You need Tommy B set up. That's what you need.
I need somebody to give me that.
Be in the Bernard plan.
Is it the secret suitcase full of electronic
gear? Yes, it is. That's exactly
where do
what
I
you
get
need.
That? Do I get that at Best Buy?
You get it at the engineer store.
Right. Seattle, very cold, and it's just terrible. They're having snowball fights. What are you going to do?
Was that the one where they wanted to have their record snowball fight?
Yeah, they're going to have a big snowball fight. How is everybody?
Well, we're missing Kenny today.
Yeah. I'm not really missing him.
Kenny tweeted Friday evening, is it too early to call in sick at GL Podcast?
He has, but you can, what is his handle? MSP underscore traffic?
Yes.
And he does have some good, great traffic items.
Yeah, he does.
Reports on 52, telling people slow down. I can't believe some of the pileups that have happened over this weekend.
I can't.
Have you forgotten how to drive?
Well, I'll tell you what. We go through this every year. And my current observation is this weather does expose us all to the incredible stupidity that surrounds us.
I am 100% agree with that.
I'm westbound yesterday on Ford Parkway.
Yep.
And a car is southbound on whatever hell street that is, Woodlawn down there by the pie shop, whatever. And I can see it coming. They're not going to stop. They think it's June. So they zip up to the stop sign, then hit the brakes and just keep going.
Slide right through.
And I just threw my miraculous driving skills.
You knew it. You knew.
I avoided it. I was on two wheels like Joey Chitwood, and then I came back, and I got down on all four wheels
Suchy
again.
Sense of snow.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, come on. You got to tap your brakes and feather them. You're coming up to a stop sign. It's icy. But we're not going to see that. We've got a lot of dunces.
Well,
a lot of dunces.
We
really
you know what? You know what else you just showcased? You had instincts in this particular weather. A lot of people don't have driving instincts.
I have not lost sense of my relationship to nature. Mm-mm. That's what you're seeing. That's what you're seeing exhibited. Mm. Well, and the letter writer's correct. Of course there are more people. There's less room for error. There's no margin for error. It's winter in Minnesota. You would think some of these people would be happy because half of them lament the fact that, geez, we never have winter anymore. Right. Well, of course we do. You're having it today. Another 10 inches tonight here in Gumption County.
Is it going to be a school day tomorrow?
I know a lot of moms that don't want school called off.
No, we need to keep them in school.
Get them in there.
Right, get them in there. They'll be fine.
Lock them up.
Yes.
Lock them up. Break it up.
Break it up, baby.
New Holcomb cartoon on the website. These applications to become the Garage Logic official groin kicker.
Yeah, and this one features Carl.
I sent Greg a letter, an email, and I said, you are a strange human being.
Authors and cartoonists.
Artists in residence. Greg Holcomb. He's got a new one. It's just fantastic.
This one you're featured in because the applicants are coming to the mayor's desk.
Coming to the mayor's office. Mm-hmm. And then you see something in the wastebasket in the mayor's office that he thinks is Inge's mirror ball hat.
Oh, no.
It's fantastic.
I'm clicking on it right now. You go to garagelogic.com.
Just a strange way of thinking, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Features.
You wait till the scroll bar comes up, and then you click on the bottom that says GL Comics. Carl, featured on February 11th, is the latest edition.
At Federated Insurance, you'll only get clear thinking. That's why Federated Mutual Company tailors its insurance programs to individual businesses, offering property and casualty, life, disability, income. Their marketing reps are the best in the business because they get to know you, the business owner. They get to know your operations, and that's why they can customize the coverage you need. Is driving a significant part of your business? They'll talk to you about auto liability. You might want to worry about data compromising, huh? Cyber attacks, they have data compromise coverage. Your business is unique. You need an insurance carrier who treats it that way. Get in touch with a Federated Insurance marketing rep to see how their second-to-none service can help your business thrive. Federated Insurance, it's their business to protect yours.
You cannot stop him. He'll just make a move. Joe Soucheray.
I don't want to alarm anybody.
Uh-oh.
But beware of your sensitivity, okay? There was a mother arrested in the UK, and she spent 7 hours in jail. And her cell phone and her computer were confiscated.
Okay.
And she has yet to receive them back. She called a transgendered woman a man in an online conversation, and for some reason, reporting isn't what it used to be. This resulted in the police going to her home and arresting her.
What?
Mm-hmm. No. No.
Kate Skatow revealed Saturday the police came to her home and brought her to her local police station for questioning and left her in a cell for 7 hours while her children watched. This is according to the Daily Mail. It's been on numerous news sites. Skatow had been engaged in a Twitter dispute with a transgender activist over dead naming or denying the gender that someone believes he or she actually is.
Dead naming?
A lot of stuff going on out there, Joe.
Dead naming.
Dead naming.
News of the arrest follows another incident in the UK when 74-year-old Margaret Nelson was questioned by Suffolk police about her social media comments on transgendered people. Skatow is still under investigation by police who took her photographs, fingerprints, and a DNA sample after arresting her. What if they find out she's a different gender? They also took the woman's mobile phone and laptop computer and haven't given it back since she was taken into custody on December 1st of 2018. Skatow discussed her ordeal on an online forum in the UK called Mumsnet. She said she is also forbidden to referring to transgendered Stephanie Hayden as a man through a court order initiated by Hayden.
Huh?
I was arrested in my home by three officers with my autistic 10-year-old daughter and breastfed 20-month-old son present, Skatow wrote. I was then detained for 7 hours in a cell with no sanitary products, which I said I needed. Before being interviewed, then later released under investigation, I was arrested for harassment and malicious communications because I called someone out and misgendered them on Twitter. Hayden's complaint prompted both the police... police to arrest Skatow and a judge to deliver sentencing guidelines or something.
Did we miss a law?
Here's what we don't need. What we don't have. We don't have the context for how this woman referred to this so-called Stephanie Hayden. I mean, were they in a you know, virtually a libelous, defamatory war in which Hayden might have felt threatened? In other words, because if that isn't the case, the world has gotten so far gone that the police will now respond to someone who calls them and complains that I was just referred to by the wrong gender in a tweet by this woman. I want you to go to her house and arrest her. Is that how far off the rails we are?
You think the cops would have something better to do?
So there's much we don't know. There's much we don't know.
You would like to think that there was more to this, but my God.
If there isn't more to this, then we've reached the point where the power wielded by the LGBTQRMNOPQRPPNNNWXYZ is so tremendous that they can snap their fingers and get coppers to come and arrest you because you were referred to, you were dead named, whatever the hell that means.
There has to be something more
has
to this.
There has to be.
I
did find another story.
It's all over the news, isn't it, Johnny?
It is, yeah. Court documents obtained by the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Did you read this? I hope you didn't read this part already. I'll feel like Chris.
No.
I got my coins ready.
Reveal that Skatow is accused of, quote, a campaign of targeted harassment. The papers claim that Skatow used two separate accounts to engage in what they call a toxic Twitter debate over transgenderism and tweeted defamatory messages about Hayden.
Well, then it must have gotten to the point where Hayden, who is now Stephanie but is a guy biologically, it must have gotten to the point where Hayden felt either threatened enough or justified enough to bring in law enforcement.
What was
is that
the,
a safe assessment, newsman?
It sounds like it, yeah.
You're the newsman. I mean,
the title of your article? To lure you in that a woman in the UK was jailed for calling someone a man or mislabeling an identity.
Yeah, you're causing me to go look it up.
Because that would catch everyone's eye, and everybody would click on that.
Arrested, spends 7 hours in jail for calling transgender a man. And what we're in our calm, sensitive ways here.
In our absorption of information.
What we're determining is there's more there than meets the eye, John.
There's
got to be.
I can't believe
otherwise,
that.
Otherwise, it's completely over. It's completely
over.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Otherwise, you really have to watch what you say when you go across the big pond.
Well, to think that police would arrest you and fingerprint you and take your DNA and confiscate your cell phone, your computer. No, there has to be more there that we're unaware of.
I think somebody's having a laugh.
I think so.
Scott Owl was accused of posting defamatory tweets calling Hayden not only male but racist, xenophobic, and a crook. Why would that be a crime?
They got free speech over there, right?
United Kingdom has extensive hate speech laws.
Oh.
In 2003, the nation banned online communication that would cause, quote, annoyance, inconvenience, or needless anxiety.
So social media is non-existent then over there.
Yeah. Taking a break.
I don't know what to tell you. I do want to tell you that I think we're going to come back with Johnny Height. How's that? Huh?
Okay.
University of Garage Logic, 98. College of Self-Esteem, zip, nada, nothing. Here's Joe Souchere.
Long about April, you can see it in the people's eyes.
Here's Johnny Height.
Did you hit that post, whoever. Was that Rook? Were you doing that?
Yeah, of course, that was me.
That was beautiful.
Appreciate that.
Beautiful.
No, on this drop?
Yeah.
That was me.
Oh, that was you, Joe. Yes.
Under my direction.
Yeah, I was under Rook's direction.
With the new setup, I'm a little confused about who's doing what. Right. So.
Aren't we all?
Minneapolis police are investigating what they call a double homicide after two women were found dead in an apartment complex Saturday night. According to the Minneapolis Police Department, officers responded to the apartment building along the 300 block of 2nd Avenue Southeast at about 10:30 p.m. on a report of shots fired. It's a housing complex for seniors and disabled adults. When they got there, officers found the two women who appeared to have suffered gunshot wounds in the apartment complex pronounced dead at the scene. Friends who spent part of the evening with the women confirmed they were a mother and daughter. According to authorities, 67-year-old Eileen Mark lived at the complex. Her 42-year-old daughter, Jennifer Angerhofer, stopped by to visit. Authorities said the suspect or suspects who shot them had fled the scene prior to the police getting there. They did canvass the surrounding area to speak with those who may have seen or heard anything. Meanwhile, investigators from the department's homicide unit and crime lab processed the scene, collected evidence. Anyone with info is asked to call the police or Crime Stoppers. Winter weather creating a salt shortage.
Nope.
At hardware stores around the Twin Cities.
Nope. It's all been taken care of.
We bought some? Or what?
I got some today at Fratelloni's.
Well, hang on. That's part of the story, actually.
Easy, Pat.
Some stores have...
Boy, I was Pat-like there, wasn't I?
I got my salt!
I got it.
Some stores have completely run out of salt. Others are having a tough time keeping it on the shelves. In the last week, Fratelloni's Ace Hardware stores have sold as much salt as they do normally in an entire year. They still have salt on the shelves, as Joe said. The company is having salt shipped in from around the country, but because of snowy roads, trucks are having a tough time getting here.
Pallets full.
At Fratelloni's?
Yep, pallets
full. I went to Fratelloni's Ace Hardware on Play-Doh in St. Paul, on the west side.
I understand.
And I bought chicken grit. I found it. It is so much better than kitty litter.
What's wrong with salt? Or is chicken grit cheaper? Well, let's keep this very brief conversation.
I'm looking for traction, not necessarily melting.
All right.
Wait, fair chicken enough. Grit?
Yes, it's better than kitty litter because it's not as
but
messy.
But what is it normally used for? What is chicken grit a product for?
I will find out while Johnny's doing the news. All right.
I had to buy some stuff last week that was dirt mixed with a small amount of salt. Works great, but it gets everything filthy, your shoes.
Of course.
And, you know. Representative Ilhan Omar from here in Minnesota sparking a backlash Sunday evening from prominent Republicans and Democrats, former first daughter Chelsea Clinton included. What she did, Omar, she accused a prominent lobbying group of paying members of Congress to support Israel. Omar, the first Somali-American woman elected to Congress, responded to a post by journalist Glenn Greenwald that criticized House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, a Republican from California, for threatening to take action against Omar and another freshman lawmaker, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, over allegedly anti-Semitic remarks. McCarthy said, "There's situations in our conference where a member does something that is wrong. I think you've seen from my own actions that I will take action about it." Greenwald accused McCarthy of targeting Omar and Tlaib in their numerous criticisms of Israel, to which Omar chimed in, it's all about the Benjamins, baby.
Do you know what that means? Oh, Benjamin, meaning money.
Yeah, $100. Okay.
Not right. Like Benjamin?
It's from a song, actually, in the 90s.
Well,
it's a P. Diddy song.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I have something on that. You'll help me understand it.
Okay. All right. Well.
Well, this is the. Are you doing the Washington Post story on Ilhan Omar?
I'm not sure, to be truthful.
Okay. The Pioneer Press has picked up a Washington Post piece. Representative Ilhan Omar again faced accusations of anti-Semitism on Sunday night after she suggested in tweets, which started with a Puff Daddy rap lyric, that members of Congress support Israel because of money from the pro-Israel lobby.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second time this month that Omar has become entangled in a Twitter controversy replete with emoji and snarky clapbacks centered on the complex Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I have no idea what they're talking about here. Omar, who supports the anti-Israel movement called BDS, for boycott, divestment, and sanctions, has persistently fought accusations of anti-Semitism by maintaining that her condemnation of the Israeli government for its treatment of Palestinians does not equate to condemnation of Jewish people. She has also claimed to be the victim of GOP attacks seeking to misrepresent her position. You're a Muslim lady. What do you want me to believe?
Yeah.
Huh? I don't know what I'm supposed to believe.
Well, and the things she says and tweets.
All right, here's the part I really don't understand. The flap started over a tweet from Omar that said, "It's all about the Benjamins, baby," and included a music note emoji, an apparent reference to the 1997 Puff Daddy single featuring the notorious B.I.G., Lil' Kim, and The Lox.
The Lox?
There's stuff going on out there I don't know anything about.
So here's my question. At some point, if she continues this behavior, she's going to lose the left. The left is going to have to distance themselves from her.
Don't you wish?
Some on the left tried to yesterday, last night, when all this happened, like Chelsea Clinton, for one.
Well, that's the role I'm going for.
You see the crime she's committing here? Do you see the basic stereotype she's committing? The Jews control everything through money.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
She's playing right into that, which is BS. She's like the Washington City councilman who said the Rockefellers were causing it to snow.
Yes.
You know, give me a break. Yeah.
But the second that the likes of Chelsea Clinton, or even locally, if Amy turns on her, she's done.
I have no idea.
It's snowing out of nowhere this morning.
Yeah, here
man.
It is.
That's right.
Y'all better pay attention to this climate control, man. It's climate manipulation. DC keep talking about we're a resilient city. And that's a model based off the Rothschilds controlling the climate to create natural disasters they can pay for to own the cities, man. Be careful.
That's right. He got a groin kick
for that.
Climate control.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rothschilds. They can buy the city and control it. I don't know what that young fellow meant.
We'd like to order up some rain.
Order up some rain.
Hey, yo.
Representative Walter B. Jones, Jr., an Eastern North Carolina congressman who made it his mission to atone for his vote that sent U.S. troops into Iraq in the early 2000s, died Sunday on his 76th birthday. Jones, like his father, served the district for almost 25 years.
You know, I shouldn't say, what do you want me to expect about Omar, Ilhan Omar? She's a Muslim. That's unfair of me. There are Muslims who have found her remarks distasteful.
Yes. Okay.
So I'm going to walk back my, what do you expect from me? That was a wrong statement on my account.
All right. Thank you for that lead-in. Right. Poultry grit is a material fed to birds consisting mainly of crushed stone, though often with additives, which helps the birds digest, grind their food.
It's like Metamucil for birds.
Sure. Yeah. It's in their gizzard. They get it grinded up in their gizzard. Yeah, they got it.
Jones was a Republican, first elected to the House in 1994, won 12 more terms, a strong advocate for the Marine Corps and against both the national debt and money in politics. He made national headlines for his change of heart over the Iraqi war vote. An early supporter of the war, he was credited, remember this term, coining the term freedom fries.
Bringing them to
House cafeterias to protest France's refusal to join the war effort in Iraq. Jones voted to give President Bush authorization for the war in 2002, but soon regretted the vote, said so publicly many times. He said, I did not do what I should have done to read and find out whether Bush was telling us the truth about Saddam Hussein. Because I did not do my job, I helped kill 4,000 Americans, and I will go to my grave regretting that. Jones signed more than 11,000 letters to families of dead troops since 2003. In act, he told the Associated Press, was penance for his original vote.
Offsite correspondent Jordy wants us to note an awareness of the loud pops and booms reported across southern Wisconsin. And he believes it's the double flange joyce counterclockwise
happening now.
Revolution there.
It's time of the year, especially.
That's right. That's right.
You told the guy you better pack up and go to a Motel 6.
You got
to
leave because...
Did you guys ever set him straight or no?
No, to this day, I think he was... I don't know what to think. He either was really stupid or he was so fast and clever he was playing along.
All right.
To this day, I don't know. I know Rook's looking for it.
But he called in to a different show than the one you and Patrick were doing.
He called in to Lauren and Freddie's Home and Garden show. Yep. This was years and years ago on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, and he never got on the Lauren and Freddie show. They had to end their show before they ever got to his call.
Got it.
But when we started Saturday morning sports talk, there were a couple of lines were still blinking from people waiting to get on Laurel and Lauren and Hardy. What the hell was her name?
Freddie and Lauren. Freddie and the Home and Garden Show.
And so, you know, Pat and I looked at each other and said, let's just take see what this is.
Why not?
So we picked it up, and the guy said, yeah, I'm concerned about these banging, booming noises in my roof at night. And I proceeded to roll with it and said, well, have you had any remodeling work done yet? And he said, yeah. And I said, any sheetrocking? And he said, yeah, we had some sheetrock. Well, Rook, if you got it, just play it. You could, I can.
Hello?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. Here's my question. Since it became really cold out, bitterly cold, we've been noticing a lot of snaps or cracks in the house, particularly in the wee hours of the morning. And I have a feeling it's from expansion and contraction. But my question is, what causes it, and is this a serious problem where I should have any concern?
Well, not only is it a serious problem, what's happening there is the double flanges on the joists are expanding counterclockwise in the ice.
Uh-huh.
There have been occasions when people should leave their home depending on the... you have to time the frequency of the cracks. It's almost like a pregnancy thing. you have to time the frequency of the cracks. If they're within, let's say, 30 seconds of each other, I think you're looking at a night in a Motel 6.
You're kidding.
No, that's a flange joist contractual expansion problem.
Well, we just noticed it one night, mainly.
Well, that's all it takes. That's the way it starts. One night, hell, the next night you hear them more often. Again, if you hear them within 30 seconds of each other, I'd put the family in the car and get the hell out of there.
You're really kidding. It's only a 25-year-old home.
Well, they don't build them like they used to.
But it hasn't done it for many, many years, and we just had our kitchen renovated, which we moved some of the old cabinets, or all of the old cabinets, and they put in new.
Sheetrock? Any sheetrock used?
Pardon me?
Did they use any sheetrock in the new kitchen?
Yeah, we had some soffits removed.
Soffits removed. This is classic.
You're kidding.
A typically classic pattern.
Well, what caused it to do that?
A double flange backup on the joist, that counterclockwise expansion.
But why hasn't it done it for 25 years?
Well, you had this early, tremendous amounts of snowfall. They built up your ice dams, and now you've got all of that ice on your roof and this sudden cold weather, and it's a very unique situation.
Does it happen often? Or you say it's unique?
I think it doesn't happen often precisely because you don't often get that early season snow.
I see. Have you heard of much of this happening recently?
I've known families have had to leave for the winter.
Well, what could be the worst scenario? Could the house collapse?
Absolutely. Just dump down right on you. I'd get out of there.
You gotta be kidding.
No, I'm not, sir. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Goodbye.
Good luck.
We gotta get down to the show.
I hope somebody, I hope his friend is listening.
Somebody straighten
hey,
that guy.
Hey, buddy, straighten that guy out. We have no idea. I don't
look,
know. I
if anybody's he... on hold for 30 minutes listening to us talk about whatever we were talking about and still thinks it was home and garden talk, you know, I'm sorry.
You know, the reason I asked...
Hold on. The most amazing part of that entire sequence, how did you keep Pat quiet that entire time?
I kept doing this. I really had to work on him.
I said,
I got this. Don't butt in. I got this.
We were talking about that bit 2 weeks ago in my house, and my wife has never heard it, so I explained the whole thing to her, and she said... Well, he set him straight at the end, right? And I said,
I don't think so.
And she went, that's horrible.
No.
He probably moved.
Probably sold the house.
Sold the house for about 20 grand less than he should have.
Wow. That's the most requested. Most requested
bit in my
27 years here. That's the most requested piece of audio.
Well, Sunday I had in my column... that I skied behind my trash bin to get it down to the bottom of the driveway. We were talking about this on last Thursday.
Okay.
And a buddy of mine texted me yesterday and said, well, I see you got the trash back down to the bottom. How'd you get it back up?
Yeah.
And I texted back, a complex system of ropes and pulleys. Oh, it gets better. And he said, I knew it. Did you use a come along? And I said, no, I used 2 half-ton ratchets and a reciprocating double-jointed Harkins block. And he just went LOL at that point and left the room, you know. No idea what that even means.
Right. He's like, yeah, well, you got it there. Sure. Okay. Double ratchet.
You can rock and block her up there.
You can get him.
The Rasmussen Report's daily presidential tracking poll for Monday. Good news for President Trump. It says 52% of likely U.S. voters approve of his job performance, 47% disapprove, his highest level of approval since shortly before his inauguration. Latest figures include 39% who strongly approve, 39% who strongly disapprove. They do what they call a presidential approval index based on that, so the fact that they're even gives him a rating of zero. But
I missed your comments last week of the State of the Union address, but I thought he sounded more presidential than he ever had. After that speech,
yeah, it was all boilerplate. It was fine.
But for him, I thought, didn't you think it was?
I enjoyed his insistence that it's anti-constitutional to view this country to drift towards socialism. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that, but I wouldn't get too carried away that it was oratory achievement. It was just
he's back to
a nice
same old
State
self.
Of the Union speech, you know.
Yeah.
They all give the same speech. It's all boilerplate. We're doing great. No matter who the president is, we're great.
Right.
We're doing great.
And now he's back to calling potential Democratic presidential runners snow women and opening his mouth again.
Well, she's capable of handling that well. He took a shot at her for how she looked in the in the snow, so she was justified coming back with, I'd like to see how your hair would do in a blizzard.
Yeah. Yeah. She responded well on Good Morning America today, too, to exactly that. It's just saying, you know, she wasn't bitter. She just said, well, you know, you can't go down the rabbit hole. You just got to.
But don't you think
you know what? She signed on. You alerted me to this right away over the weekend. She signed on to occasional cortex.
The green line.
She signed on to that, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Alexandria Occasional Cortex. That's what Bill Stein's buddy, the psychiatrist, calls her. I've been mispronouncing her name. It's Alexandria Occasional Cortex.
Ah.
But Amy signed on to that, which in my estimation disqualifies her as an adult human being. It just...
And Ilhan did not.
Let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay. The new Green Deal.
There's a number of theories bouncing around out there that Alexandria Occasional Cortex is getting credit for launching this, and that she has some supporters for this. Well, some. Hell, 46 and signed on, including Amy. And the one thought that I'm hearing being bounced around is that her superiors are just letting Occasional Cortex hang herself by her own rope, that they're allowing her to reveal herself as this flyweight who's got fourth grade ideas. And then there's another thought that it's real and that she has growing support for this. Pelosi hasn't signed on to it, and I'd like to stick to my guns, which is we weren't going to mention this young lady. Mm-hmm. She's only one of 435, but she is such a media darling for fitting so nicely into the template that she's going to get all of the press she'll ever want. So I don't know if she's being used by her party or if she's being embraced by her party. I think the jury's out. I have no clue.
It could even be both, given that circumstance. Yeah.
It is hard to tell. Even I know you're not a social media guy, but on Twitter, it's hard to see what everybody's thinking from her party about her because she tweets a lot also.
Of course.
So it's a very confusing.
But Ilhan Omar did not sign on to that Green Deal.
She did not. She was not on the list. Nobody else from Minnesota did. Oh, Betty was. I'm sorry, Betty.
Betty McCollum and was. Amy.
Yes.
Yeah. So I would have been really interested or pleased to discover that Amy did not sign on to it. But she loves that leftist platform.
I don't know that that's going to help her.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I what do you mean that wouldn't help her? Well, that would help her more than moderation would help her.
I don't think it's going to help her be elected to the presidency. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I don't think that's going to help in her presidential
run. No, but the president tweeting at her isn't going to hurt her cause.
She's just anti-Trump. That she right. gets she gets a pass.
Her first day in office, she'd rejoin the Paris Climate Treaty.
Yeah.
I personally would not. But I'm not running.
Yet.
I'm not running.
Come on, Prez.
I'm not running.
Because I think your hair would do good in a snowstorm.
Yeah, it would.
Be all right.
GarageLogic.com. Check out the brand new feature. Greg Holcomb has a wonderful new cartoon. Click on the GarageLogic.com page features drop down, and you'll see the GL comic. We'll be back for more Garage Logic podcast version.